Okay, tonight we are going to talk about Prosper Your Soul and Be in Health series, and this is part four. Some of you might be the first time you're hearing about it because I did parts 1, 2, and 3 at a 6 p.m. service. I started actually October in 2015, then I did one in June 2017, and then July 7th, 2017. And I'll do this series for as long as God wants me to. It's not that I don't have anything else to talk about, but God kind of has me just concentrating on this topic. A lot of people don't minister about the soul. You know, it doesn't get the press it needs to. Everybody likes to talk about faith or, you know, prayer, petition, and those are all really good, and our spirit and, you know, words of our mouth, and those are great topics, but we can't forget one of the five parts of our being. You know, we want to give it just as much attention and be balanced, right? There's a, you know, I came out of the Word of Faith movement, and I was an ordained minister through that ministry, and they have wonderful teaching. But then I saw that the pastors there were only teaching on faith, 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 faith. And I said, what happened to the other eight fruit of the Spirit? You know what I mean? It's like Pastor Aunt Sarah says, if you just build up this muscle on this arm all the time, you're going to look like Popeye with the spinach with the big, really nice, you know, muscle, and it's very strong, you know, can lift up a ship with that arm because your faith has grown so big. But then the other arm's going to look like olive oil. For you people who are young, look that up on the YouTube. You may not know who Popeye and olive oil are. He used to eat spinach, and the skinny little sailor used to become boing, his muscles, you know, like Superman, you know, he would just become very strong with eating spinach. And so olive oil, his girlfriend, was even skinnier than him. She was like a little stick. And so you don't want to have one arm really strong and one arm really weak, because we need to have balance in our life. So that's what I'm led to do by the Lord, to really focus in on the topic of our soul. And let's just start right off. You know, man is made in the image of God. Meaning humankind, human beings. And you can find that Genesis 1:26 and John 4:24. And we thank God we're created just like him. He's our creator. We have been created, right? And so if he's a spirit, we're a spirit. And, you know, we have to develop that spirit. And that's very important. So that's the first thing. But there's many other facets of God. And number one, many churches teach that man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. But ABC does not agree with that teaching, nor do we believe that what other churches teach, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions, because we do agree that those are three parts, but not the only three. How's that? And so, if you want to have the full teaching on this, then you need to go online to Healing School 1, and then when you get to Healing School 2, you'll get the real training on the structure of man, which was, I think, a 16-year revelation that God had given to Pastor Joshua, which is awesome. It really is awesome. Do not take that lightly. If you really get this teaching on the structure of man and review it over and over, and we could start implementing it more and more into our lives daily, this is one of the basis for which our Christianity is built, knowing who we are in Christ in order to receive all the promises of God and be ready and prepared for the end times, okay? And man is a human, is a spirit being who lives in a body. And because we believe in the structure of man has five parts, and you can find that in 1 Corinthians 9:27, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And we have a heart, a soul and a mind. You can also find that in Matthew 22:37, John 3:5-8. We're not basing our doctrine just on one scripture alone. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, so shall something be. So we have seen in the Bible that there's verification of what Pastor Joshua has been teaching us. And I really see it makes a difference in my life, in my husband's life. And we also believe that our spirit can be born again, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So when you became born again, your spirit was made new, but your body remained the same. So Popeye would still be thin if he got born again. Olive oil would still be like a little stick, but their spirits would be dynamite and renewed with the dunamis power of God inside them, you know? Okay. And so B, we have a soul, and it's proven in the book of 3 John. There's one chapter at verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And that word prosper comes from the Strong's Concordance, which has the Hebrew and Greek translations and gives us the deeper meanings of the translation of the Bible into English. And you can find that in Greek 21:37. And that word in Greek in the English transliteration is euoduo, means to prosper or be successful. So God wants you to be successful in what? In your health? Yes. But even as thy soul prospers. So if you flipped that sentence, a lot of people go after health, healing, and then that's the only thing that they're thinking about. But really, the sentence should be flipped the other way, because it says, even as your soul prospers. So there is a balance. So you can't just go after healing, and nothing on the soul prospering. Then that would look like the one big arm and the one skinny arm. You know what I mean? So we have to have both strong. And if one is prospering, so you have to go after the soul first, you have to focus and prioritize that in order for there to be the healing and health that you need. Most people don't look at that. Most people don't think about that. So we want to bring you back to balance, okay? And so as a result, you will prosper in other areas and be in health. Because if you are not in health, how can you run towards the mark of your high calling if you're limping along? If you're huffing and puffing and you can't get your cardio to where it needs to be. Or if we're overweight and we're carrying a lot more baggage than when I started out when I got married. But thank God my husband still loves all of me. And so on this fast, yes, on this fast, I am, you know, seeing God helping me continue towards my weight loss goal. But that's not why I'm on the fast. My fast is to spend more time with God. I want to give up the worldly things. But the side benefit, losing weight, I'll take it, okay? Now, one of the things that God told us to fast this time, which was really interesting, you know, it had nothing to do with food. Now, we chose to fast some food so that we wouldn't be concentrating on eating and spend more time having prayer. Because if I'm cooking big meals, I won't have much time after dinner to pray more. So I have to, you know, manage my time somehow. Something's got to go. So I'm not making big meals. And we have more time together when my husband gets home from night and when I'm done with my work. And then we have a longer time to pray at our nighttime instead of be falling asleep in the middle of our prayer time if we try to do it the other way. Or because we get up so early in the morning, 3:30 in the morning or 4, you know, the morning comes around pretty quick. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own time schedule. And so the Lord says to us, I want you to fast self-hatred, lack of self-control, not resisting temptation, and not having discipline. I want Okay. Guess no cake on the fast. So he was serious. And I said, okay, what do you mean fast all that? He says, your soul must prosper. You must get stronger in your soul so that your soul would then guide your feet and your life when the word of God comes in through the veil of your heart, is planted as a seed, and then goes into your mind by the renewing of the mind, by the washing of the word of God. And then your soul grabs a hold of that and sees life in a different perspective so that you're able to have that more of a cycle of change. I said, Lord, teach me more about the soul. And so that's why we're doing this. We're going to really dig in and learn more about that part of ourselves. Okay? See, the word of God prospers your soul. So the word of God is good for every area of our life. There is no scriptural basis for a well-known phrase. You ever heard the eyes are the window to the soul? Can't find it anywhere in the Bible. It's not there. Somebody made that up. And everyone started following suit because it sounded good. And that's what mixture. See, we had heard these preachings before from different preachers in the pulpit, different seminars, different teachings. But we got to go search something ourselves, search the word for ourselves to make sure it really lines up and is really in the Bible. So we want to get rid of mixture and have the pure truth. What does the Bible say? It says, number two, the eyes are the windows to the body, not the soul, according to Matthew 6:22-23. It says, the light of the body is the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, meaning focused, not distracted, thy whole body shall be full of what? Light. So if we focus on the kingdom of God, you have no choice but to be full of what the kingdom is of. What does light do? Dispels the what? Darkness. And so if we don't have revelation or knowledge or knowing what we need to do, confusion is in the darkness. If we're in the light, everything is exposed and we see it all, and then God shows us what to do. You're in a dark room. Somebody's light went out the other day, texted me, do you guys have electricity? Yeah, we don't. Well, they might have had to use a flashlight. And if they didn't have a flashlight, thank God there's that little light thing button on your cell phone. And if you don't have one of those, you have an old dinosaur phone upgrade. Just that feature alone is really great. Shine the light on something, and then the demons cannot hide. We do not see sins that we're not aware of because of a darkness or a blind spot spiritually. And when the Holy Spirit shines the light in those areas of our lives, then we could say, wow, I didn't know that was happening. No wonder this other thing wasn't working out. I'm now going to repent, renounce, and break, and cleanse and get rid of that. One time I told somebody who came to me for prayer and said, I am so scared. I need prayer. Why? A demon appears every night in the corner of my room. It's a big, huge demon. I am so scared. I said, you should be rejoicing, not be scared. She said, you're weird. How am I going to be rejoicing with this big, ugly, massive thing? And it's trying to harm me. I said, because you see it, you can get rid of it. If you didn't see it, things would be going wrong and you wouldn't know what to get rid of. Makes sense? So it's good when God shows you something, reveals it to you, so you can do something about it. Amen? Amen. So she needed more light in her inner being and more power so that she could say to that thing, I have authority. Go in the name of Jesus. And when we got her filled with the Holy Ghost, that power turned on the light in her, and that thing knew it couldn't stay and left. Right? I don't live with her. I'm not going to go over to her house every night, cast a thing out for her. Right? So I taught her what to do of who she is in Christ. Okay? So now, verse 23 of Matthew 6. We're in number 2. But if thine eye be what? Evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness, and therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? It means unsaved people don't know what they don't know. They don't know that they are lost. They don't know they're in the dark. They've gotten so used to the darkness, you know? At first, when you know, you ever gone out to the country, even Palm Springs, if you're not right in the city, you know, in the desert, there's not a lot of street lights, not a lot of cars. And as soon as you turn the light out, it's like you can't see your hand in front of your face. Have you been in that kind of darkness? If you haven't, it's an experience. And so, but you know what? After a while, your eyes adjust. God made us incredibly. And even though there's darkness, he allows our eyes to be able to see things. Oh, that shape over there, it looks like a man in a hat. Oh, it is a hat, but it's on a hat stand with a coat. You know, there was a preacher who thought there was a demon in his room. And when he turned on the light, it was a hat and a coat. But you can't see real good in the dark, you know? So you kind of presume. That's why people get night lights. That little tiny bulb doesn't emit very much wattage, but it sure brightens up the pathway to the bathroom, you know? So we need to pray that God opens the eyes of the understanding of our loved ones who are not serving him and flood it with what? Light. Light of the gospel. The revelation that they're in darkness. And number 3, God's word is what? A lamp unto your feet and a light to your path, so we don't stumble and we know exactly where he's leading us. And that's Psalm 119, 105. And number 4, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now, what is that word conscience translated as in the Greek? So you go into Strong's Concordance, you look up G4893, and so the transliteration in English is synaedesis, which means soul, or perspective, but even their mind and soul, distinguishing between what is morally good and bad, is defiled. Why? Because they're not believing in what's pure. So the word of God helps us living a righteous life. The purity that we want to cleanse ourselves will help us to stay undefiled when we don't sin. So we see there that your soul is your conscience. And what does your conscience do? It convicts you. It tells you if something is right or wrong. Now you have a choice because we were made free beings. We're not robots. God did not want to have androids. He wanted free will. So we would go to him and choose to love him. And that's why the filtering system is really a tough one. And so we have to choose to listen to our conscience, which is picking up signals from our spirit, who's listening to the Holy Spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes it's a still, small voice. Now, number 5, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Not blame shifting somebody else because something went wrong, but blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's where we see that there are at least three parts in our being. And number six, for the word of God is quick. Why is it quick? Because as soon as you hear it, it does something to you, which is great. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow, what's going on there? So it's dividing the soul and spirit, and then it helps the intents of the heart be able to discern better. Interesting. That's what it says in Hebrews 4:12. If the soul and the spirit and heart were the same, you couldn't divide it, right? So that's why we have to study the word for ourselves, not just hear what other people are saying, okay? And when you have the soul, which has not had the mind renewed, and there's all this darkness in there, then that spirit cannot then be open to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. They have to have the Word of God come in. That Word of God has to part the veil in their heart. They have to then somehow get the revelation. And so it divides the soul and the spirit. And that light of God can then get into the spirit and therefore can minister to that person. So the person can say, I want to be born again, and change their spirit. Then they have to renew their mind. And then their soul needs to learn to prosper. And then their body can start receiving healing and health and wholeness. Number seven, you speak the word of God to deliver your soul from troubles and snares. Proverbs 4, 6, 2. And chapter 21, verse 23. You know what the problem is with most people's souls? They think the worst, and they go by their feelings, and they go by the darkness of the feelings of the soul. And we cannot be led by feelings. Pastor Michael was preaching about that the other day, and it really was a good message. We have to be led by the Spirit of God. And we have to go by our faith, not by our feelings. And we have to call those things that are not as though they already were. What happens with a dark soul is they call things that are as though they are and don't see any possibility of a change. What happens? The soul gets depressed. The soul gets hopeless. The soul gets discouraged. The soul then is going to follow, the feet are going to follow the soul. And they're going to believe the lies of the enemy. Do you see what I'm saying? And then the enemy is going to say, give up. Just quit. These prayer things don't work. Look at your checkbook. It's not going to get any better, the dark soul will say. And they feel all of a sudden confused, and that opens the door to great fear. Why? Because they're not focusing on the Word of God. And then it becomes confused, what is right and what is wrong? What should I do? And then when they're praying, they're trying to grow to hear the voice of God. But then there could be religious spirits speaking to the person. They can't discern the difference. Then it could be maybe a spirit of do-gooder, because the devil doesn't care if you do good things for God as long as you don't spend time with God, getting to know him, and then being an ambassador of God, listening to his instructions, and blessing the kingdom of God by being a servant of the Lord. See, the devil doesn't care what you do for God. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Because that becomes works. without faith, without action, without being instructed by the Holy Spirit, led by feelings. I feel this. I feel that. Can't go by that. That's all the dark soulish realm. We have to have our soul enlightened with the Word of God and be led by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we can't get out of troubles and snares. And then it's the opposite. Then the person starts snaring themselves with their own words because of the way they feel. The person might say, she doesn't feel like praying today because she's depressed because so-and-so died. I understand that. And we're sorry that you lost a loved one. But God, He helps to repair the broken heart if we let Him. Right? And even though I don't feel like doing something, like I don't feel like drinking my water quota, it was so hard for me to start drinking more water. At first, it was like acid. I didn't realize it was demons or evil spirits, I mean, because they don't like water. So now when I'm in the shower, I cast them out too. And I drink more water. I'm like, oh, good. They don't like this. Get out then. If my body doesn't have enough water, I'll die. So it doesn't matter what you feel like. Make your body drink it. You can't live without water. True? You don't feel like going to the gas station, but if you want to use your car, you better. Right? Same thing with water. You want your body to keep going? Put what it needs in there. We can't go by feelings. We got to be responsible and do what we're supposed to do. We have to follow the Word of God, right? And so, number 8, your body has already been healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24. The soul will say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel healed. No, you'll never feel healed. You have to know that you are healed. You have to believe that you are healed. You have to receive the healing that God has already given you. Because if you go by feelings, you'll never get healed. Do you get it? We can't listen to the soul on that. You have to listen to the Word of God. Okay? So, the dark soul, but the renewed soul will say, my mind has been renewed with the Word of God. It says, I've already been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I choose to believe that. And so when pain socks you in the stomach in the middle of the night and you run with diarrhea to the toilet and you barely make it, the dark soul will say, your prayers didn't work. And so the renewed mind is going to say, yes, the Word of God said you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to do my affirmations. My digestive and GI systems have been healed from this by the stripes of Jesus, from my mouth all the way to my, you know what? And in the name of Jesus, my blessed assurance has been healed too. And you're not going to believe that lie. You've got to kick it out. Why? The devil's going to try hard to come back and lie to you and lie to you. And he's going to say, you don't feel good. You're hurting. You're in pain. Your body's weak. He's going to try all these things. You're going to pass out when you look at your bank account and not know how to pay the bills at the end of the month is what that dark soul is going to try to tell you. No, 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 no. I'm changing. I am prospering in my soul. I'm making my soul successful by focusing what is good and what is not good. And the Word of God is the only thing that I'm going to have to believe that's good, no matter what's hitting me. How many people have had desperate financial needs? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise both of mine and both my feet. I've been there, done that. Sometimes it's a challenge. One, you get over one hump, another hump comes, you know? But I'm telling you, the more that we stand on the Word, the more that we get rid of self-hatred, the more that we get rid of lack of self-control, lack of discipline, resisting the devil by submitting to God. He runs away from us and supernaturally, boom, God comes through. Why? Because we put in the pipeline of prayer all the prayers and did not cease. Did not cease. Did not cease. When you have to pump a well, if you stop pumping, air gets in that pump, and it is going to be really tough going to get that thing going again, get water through. Sometimes it takes a long time for the water to come through. But if you keep pumping that thing every day, you keep the air out, water comes through every day. You stop praying, guess what? You've blocked the blessings of heaven. You keep praying. You keep doing the word of God. You keep confessing it no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstances are facing you in the natural. You have to start looking at the supernatural, which is the reality in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And so, number 9, when you speak the word of God, it becomes transformed with the manifestation of healing. As your mind is renewed because the soul is prospering, your manifestation of healing comes. It's being developed by the word you're speaking. Every dosage of word that you're giving yourself for your finances is bringing the finances in. Every word of dosage that you are injecting into your body of healing is causing the manifestation of the fullness of the healing. You know, if you had to go to the doctor and get a B12 shot every single day because the person couldn't even get out of bed, I knew a person had to go get a B12 shot every single day so they could just get up and be able to drive. There was a severe deficiency, okay? So when there's a severe deficiency, you have to up your dosage. He had to get more than most normal people. It had to be a prescription and had to be given to him by a nurse or a doctor. He couldn't just go inject himself, okay? And so sometimes our dosage is too low of what we're speaking of the word, and it's not meeting our needs. Because if there is a lack or want of any good thing, you're deficient in that area. And so you need mega doses, okay? And you have to ask the Holy Spirit how much you need to start pouring into that area of your life and your soul to get the darkness out and get the light in so that now your soul has a correct perspective of what the kingdom of God is doing through you. You're creating your future. But you're not creating a good future if the dark soul is speaking those negative things out. See? Okay, so, A, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, James 1:21 in the King James. And that means the overflow of wickedness. So set aside the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. That means let the word of God, don't be so prideful that you don't want correction through the word or when someone comes and tries to help you. And with the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Remember what we talked about in grafting is like, say you have one plant and you want to hybrid it and make it another plant. And so you're going to splice into the bark of this tree, this other plant, and it now becomes infused and a new one. And the tangelos are tangerines and what?
Pomelo.
So they're two different fruits. I don't even know what a pomelo looks like. I just know I like the tangelo. I like the result of that hybrid, you know? And so who cares about the others anymore? Because now they are a new fruit that people can enjoy. Well, when you have the word of God come into your heart, it then gets engrafted and it becomes part of you. Is that cool? And so we then become a part of the vine, the divine vine, Jesus himself. Wow! We're part of the branches of the divine family of God. When we have that word and we embed it into our heart, and then it can't be removed from us, and then it's going to produce good new fruit, divine fruit. Amen? So don't give up on the Word of God. And why do we need to save our souls? Good question. Let's look a little deeper in B. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the Word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save. And that word save is G4982 in Strong's Concordance, which means sozo, to save or heal or make whole or deliver or rescue from peril or danger your souls, your conscience, or your psyche, according to G5590, which is the breath of life and your soul and the seat of your feelings, desires, affections, and aversions of your heart or soul. So that's the Amplified Classic definition. And so we have to get out the bad weeds. It's basically what it's saying. That's a Karen translation. Isn't that easier? Just weed it out. And we have to then get rooted the engrafting of that word so that we won't have the ungodly negative feelings or desires or affections or aversions, but the breath of life of God and the Spirit of God is then going to help us to have success, and that fruit is going to start to blossom and bud and grow and grow and grow when you give it more and more, more Word of God. And 10, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. So study more about prospering your soul. And when your soul prospers, becomes more successful, then it will cause you to prosper in every area of your life. We need to practice prosperity of the soul. And if you think you can do it, then your soul will guide your feet to accomplish that goal. Don't go looking for money. Because when you prosper in your soul, you are seeking first the kingdom of God. He will add everything to you. Let's prosper our souls first. Don't look for money. Look for God, who is our blesser. Not because we want to be blessed, but because we love him. That's the perspective of a prospering soul. Have you practiced imitating everything Jesus does? He spoke the word of God over every situation. Have you tried to walk through a wall yet? Well, if you see ABC, mainly staffers, coming in with bumps on our head, you know what we're doing. We're practicing walking through walls. Okay? And have you looked at your trial as a fearful endeavor? Or are you pending a praise report in progress? That's what a healthy soul will do. It won't say, oh my gosh, there's another trial. A healthy, godly soul will say, I have another praise report in the making. Now, don't act like a spiritual fireman who only prays when something goes wrong. Start using the Word of God to change your future. First, you must recognize the snares or traps of the devil. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize that. Then you need to avoid stepping into that trap. Advance to the next stage to prevent that trap from occurring to begin with. And that's how you will be free of the snare of the devil. Don't wait till you're already snared and stuck in there in that hole. You can change and transform your life by speaking the word of God over every challenge and circumstance when your soul prospers. You'll become more successful in your life. Remember to tell your soul to line up with the word of God. Daily take authority to say to yourself every morning without fail, my spirit is already aligned with the Spirit of God. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I command my heart, soul, mind, and body to line up with the Spirit of God and the word of God. So let's say that together. Okay, let's start with after every morning. It says, my spirit is already aligned. Let's say it together out loud. My spirit is already aligned with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I command my heart, soul, mind, and body to line up with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And now also say this. And I thank you, Lord God, that I prosper and am in health, even as my soul prospers. That means that you are teaching me to have a prosperous, Successful soul.
Successful soul.
To be properly aligned.
To be properly aligned.
With my spirit.
With my spirit.
Heart.
Heart.
Soul.
Soul.
Mind.
Mind.
And body.
And body.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.